Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello. Welcome. Hello.
To Off Script.
We are a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
And I'm Allie.
And I'm Brie.
And we're so excited that you're here today.
Yes, we are.
I feel like we're like a talk show and we're like, welcome. Today we will be discussing Hannibal and what makes
what,
him.
What book and movie comparison it'll be.
Yes.
What? Oh my God, Allie. What do I not have?
Your notes.
Yeah.
It is season 5, episode 9. We're already on 9.
Yeah, we're basically, I'm on, with what I have to read, I only have 3 books? And that's blowing my mind. I'm like, how? How?
I only have 4, because I gotta get all those dang
magicians
read. But yeah, I'm proud of us.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah. But today, we are back in our old studio.
Yes, we are.
So exciting.
Yeah.
And then you're dying.
I'm old. I threw out my back 2 days ago. And holy fuck, do not recommend.
It's the worst.
I know. Allie threw hers out a while ago, but she threw it out way worse than I did.
Like, yeah, but I didn't have a lot going on. I could just lay in bed and everything. Yeah. You have a whole wedding this weekend and like, oh my gosh, I'd rather be lying on the floor not being able to do anything than have a back out and have to do things.
My body would appreciate me doing that, but I have been able to do things. And like yesterday, oh my God, yesterday I had to cancel. I was supposed to help a lady get school pictures for a preschool, and I woke up and was basically like, there's no way in heck I can help move any of her photo gear around. So I told her, I was like, hey, I threw out my back. The most embarrassing thing was I didn't even throw it out cool. I was bending down in my kitchen to get super glue out of a cupboard in the bottom cupboard. And freaking when I stood up, just standing up, that's all I did. Next thing I knew, I was like, ow, that did not feel great. Like, and the weirdest part was like, as it was doing that, I was like, how did I just stand up? I didn't twist or anything. I literally just stood up.
Right.
So then I was thoroughly confused, and then I tried to do more things and I was like, oh, I cannot, like I was trying to reach across the counter and I was like, oh, I cannot reach. What is this? And then I tried to go to bed and I couldn't sleep comfortably.
Oh,
yeah. But ice and heat has helped. Usually when I have injuries, I just ignore that. Like, look, I can't even look at you.
I know.
But I usually just ignore the like 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off. And just deal with it. But this time I was like, I need something to fix this.
I know. I told you, you can't. You have to do it.
Yeah. And that's honestly, it's helped so much.
Yeah. See,
that's why I'm literally, you might hear Velcro every once in a while. I'll try and edit it out, but it's my little back brace with my ice in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to switch to heat because this room gets too hot.
Yeah. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry about that.
It's okay. I might survive. I don't know. I think the worst part is that I have to drive for 2 hours today.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday when I was just driving down the road to feed the dog and then to you, twisting to put my seatbelt in hurt.
You just got to take breaks.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I'm going to end up. I wanted to ask my mom if she had told my aunt that I threw out my back, because I have a feeling I'm going to text my aunt and be like, I'm on my way. But then like 30 minutes in, be like, OK, I need a break. Stop at a rest area, get out and do my cat cow stretch.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, so that's the fun part. I'm also nervous to stand in the wedding and walk down the aisle in the wedding. Like, if I'm standing for too long, my back also does a weird spasm thing where, like, it makes my whole body move because it's like, ow, I'm in pain. So here's hoping that doesn't happen.
That would be a show.
All right. But yeah, so there's your picture. I'm dying. I have a wedding that I have to be in while I'm dying.
And then you have to go on an airplane soon to another wedding. Hopefully it's fixed by then, because that's like a week.
I was going to say, I really think if I take it easy, I should be good, because like today is the best it's felt.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, mine
was bad. It only took me 2 days and I was better.
Yeah. I'm worried about, you know, now putting it in a car and I'm standing. So it might take me a little while longer, but I hope by Wednesday I should be good.
Hopefully.
After this wedding, I literally have nothing planned.
Okay, good.
So I can rest before the flight.
Good. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So hopefully, if there's no more off script, you all will know why. I died because I threw out my back.
Oh, no.
Or Allie will just continue on.
Yeah, right.
She takes up me and her.
That's too much work. No, can't do that. You will get one final episode and be like, y'all,
she died.
She's gone. And so that's.
Won't even peace. Be edited.
No. Nope. Speaking of death, this episode has murder and cannibalism in it. And then a little inappropriate child moments.
Mm-hmm.
So, yuck.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
There's that. So we're letting you know now. Those are our trigger warnings. That was a big jump, but it was a perfect segue, but it was.
I'm glad my death could be the perfect segue.
Oh, no, you ain't gonna die. You're fine. Okay. We have a synopsis for you. Hannibal Lecter is on the loose, hiding from the law. But his passion for bloody vengeance still burns bright. His path crosses again with Clarice Starling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it Starling or Sterling?
Starling.
No, oh, my notes are incorrect. Voice to text. All right. We have author Thomas Harris, director Ridley Scott, screenplay writer David Mamet, and Stephen Zalian.
I almost feel like Mamet is actually Mamé.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. French.
Mamé.
Mamé.
And audiobook reader Daniel Jarrell. I think I liked him.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a little bit ago.
Yeah. I've read it, so I can't help you.
I've listened to like 5 other books since this one. So
sorry, it took me so long.
No, you just did it. We've been doing them in different orders. So
yeah. That's kind of screwed us.
Yeah.
But
we did what we got to do.
Yeah. And then after this, we'll be able to record like 4 more.
I know. I'm proud of us.
Yeah. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We have our book was released June 8th, 1999, and our movie February 9th, 2001. That's only a 2-year difference.
Wow.
I know. I thought it was much more.
Oh, I did too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And what'd you do first?
I watched the movie first.
I read the book first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on the story?
I'm conflicted.
Me too.
I love Hannibal, so I'm here for it, but I am way more conflicted than I ever thought I would be after I read the book.
Mm-hmm. This book had parts of what I wanted in it, which I just wanted a story from Hannibal's point of view, but like not his pre-Hannibal point of view, right? Like the first one. I just wanted his crazy side. And we got bits and pieces of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of nice. That was actually cool. 'Cause I had told you like right before I got to his bits and pieces in this book that I wanted more of him. I mm-hmm. was like, I want to be with him when he's doing all this shit. And then lo and behold, I'm with him when he's doing all this
we
shit.
Are.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well then I think I actually really like this.
Yes. There's just other bits and pieces. I'm like, what just happened? What did I just read? And you haven't decided if you liked it or not yet?
I actually know.
Oh, okay. I'm interested to hear.
I know.
We'll hear that at the end.
It was the biggest mind fuck I've ever had when reading a book.
I was like, what? I told my mom how it ended and she's like, what? And I was like, I know. So it's a twist. I will say that. I thought it was.
Oh, for sure. I was.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So if you want it, this is your twist warning. There is a twist. So if you haven't read it, the read is different. Like if you watch the movie, you're like, I already watched it. I know the twist. You don't.
You don't. You literally do not.
Book or movie changed the entire twist. So if you want to know the twist with before us spoiling it.
Which is funny because they like changed it, but they also like kind of kept it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Let's continue.
Yes. Why do we pick it?
Shock. It was the end of the series.
Had to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. We got some Allie super fun facts. We have Sir Anthony Hopkins wrote a screenplay for the sequel to this movie, most likely titled Hannibal Ending, which would have involved Starling killing Lecter. However, this was never used.
I wonder why.
I know. Number two. After years of being actively, yes, you have a comment for number one?
I do, actually. That just shows how tied to this character he was.
Yeah. Wait until one of my fun facts.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
Okay. After years of being actively involved in getting the sequel made during no less than 15 drafts of the screenplay, Jodie Foster ultimately declined to participate in the sequel. She issued a statement that at the time, saying, I had been offered more money than ever in my entire career to make this film, but who cares if it betrays Clarice, who has become more of a person to me in the end. Ironically, Foster had to fight tooth and nail for years to land the role of Clarice in Silence of the Lambs, but she chose not to be in this one. I know. I'm like, why would you go through all that work and then just be like, never mind.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Because she wanted to work on that other movie, too.
That never got made.
Mm-hmm.
After Thomas Harris finished writing the novel, he sent copies to the Silence of the Lambs principals, Jonathan Demme, Jodie Foster, Ted Talley, and Sir Anthony Hopkins for approval. So he sent them to the actors to make sure, do you like this? Is this a good book?
Which is crazy because, okay. This makes the twist even more like, what? Because I feel like there are certain people in that grouping who might have been like, wait, this is really where my
character is going with this.
Yeah. But also, yeah, we got to talk about it.
Okay. Number four, Okie Dokie was ad-libbed by Sir Anthony Hopkins. It became a catchphrase for Hannibal Lecter.
That's hilarious. I love when he says that too.
Okie Dokie.
It's hilarious.
And here we go. Number five, in a 2016 interview for The Wrap, Anthony Hopkins stated that he regretted returning to his role of Dr. Hannibal Lecter for this movie and Red Dragon, believing that he should have limited his performance to the character to Silence of the Lamb, which he called a good film. In the same interview, he also said he will never play Hannibal again.
I could see that, but also like good on him for, because I bet you his thought process was, if I don't do this, someone else is going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I feel like they would have screwed it up.
They would have.
Also, no, I just have to wait. I can't say any fucking thing until the end.
Okay, you guys. Shall we chat?
Yeah, so that I can start talking about what I want to really talk about.
Okay. I don't remember. Do you start or do I start?
I mean, the start's pretty much
the same.
Yeah, so okay. Go for it.
All right. So the book kicks off. It's been 7 years since Hannibal escaped. Clarice Starling is on a case and she's updating the men about this woman they're after who's HIV positive and she'll do anything to spread her disease. So they're at a stakeout and finally they see movement and they go in. This woman has a baby carrier with her and she's carrying a baby. So they're a little hesitant. And one of the cops comes out and says, give me the baby. And she ends up shooting the cop. And then a shootout happens. And finally, it's Clarice and the woman left. And Clarice tries again, but it didn't work. And she brought out a gun, but Clarice shot her first. She ran over, grabbed the baby, and they were like at a fish market. She ran over to the fish market and
cutting board.
Yep. And washed the baby off so that it didn't have any blood on it.
To save it from HIV.
Yes.
Which was really smart.
But it was.
It did not play out in her favor.
That backfired.
Yeah. So in the movie, the big difference here is once Clarice sees her with the baby, she says, we can't do it today. We need to do it a different day, and tries to call off the thing. But then there's like two people who are like, I'm already in position. I'm going to go for it. Whereas in the book, it was like, ooh, this sucks, but we got to get her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also Clarice doesn't rinse off the baby in the movie.
All right. So Clarice is home crying to her roommate. The baby's okay, but five people died.
Her roommate is not in the movie because it's Ardelia from the first one. I was upset about that.
News reports are going off about this whole incident, and she's looking like a bad cop because she shot a woman who had a baby. And people are saying she should retire.
Basically, this happens.
Mm-hmm. Jack Crawford and his boss are talking, and his boss is like, hey, we like Sterling. We know you like Sterling, but it's time for her to be honorably released.
Jack Crawford is not in this movie, which also made me upset. It's all Paul Krenler.
I know.
Which is stupid because we didn't even talk about him in the last one. But he's basically the one who, when Clarice went into Catherine's room and then Catherine's mom came in and was like, I don't want you in here. He came in and was like, I'm getting you recycled. And ever since then, he's had a grudge with her.
Yes.
The other thing that I'm going to say here is because when basically all the news reports are coming through that she's a horrible cop, it's all coming through the Tatler, mm-hmm. too, throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
And my note here is that the Tatler is literally only mentioned in the Red Dragon movie.
Yeah, the Red Dragon in this one.
Yeah. No, the movie?
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's like it always plays a part in the books. And like it's even mentioned just like briefly in Silence of the Lambs, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is.
But in the movie, it's Red Dragon's the only one where they're like, the Tatler. Oh, this is the journalist from the Tatler. Oh, let's use it.
That's because he was actually a character.
Exactly. Exactly. But then the rest of them, they're like, meh, fuck this newspaper tabloid.
Yep. So Clarice went to check on the baby at the hospital and the grandmother was there and she came up and smacked Clarice across the face. And when she got home, she found she had mail from Hannibal. He asked her questions about her family and if she still hears the lamb screaming. And he told her how to reply in one of the papers.
She gets her Hannibal letter so early in the book. In the movie, it's already when she's down in her like behavioral science little area. And like she's already dealing with other stuff. And then she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So when she got this so quick in the book, I was like, hold on. What the fuck? She's already supposed to be trying to find you.
What is going on?
Yeah.
Here?
I was like, this makes no sense. Because like in the movie, it was kind of then like him toying with her like, ooh, you're on the hunt for me again. Here you go. But this was like a, I'm keeping my eye on you and I'm sorry about this. But also let me fuck with your brain some because I'm a serial killer cannibal.
Yep. A man named Mason had new information about Hannibal Lecter, and he was all hooked up to these respirators and he's bedbound. And we're like, what is wrong with this guy?
So Mason's in this, but he's not bedbound. And
he's got his little
wheelchair that he can move around.
He's like Professor X.
X. Yeah, except for this is going to sound so bad, but he looks like how I envisioned the kid from Wonder looking like.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And Wonder did not look like him, and he does not look how he's supposed to look.
No, but like he does look like the kid from Wonder, but like he doesn't look like the kid from Wonder. He looks like you said, how we envisioned him, but also like awful. Like, how am I saying this? I don't think the kid from Wonder would have looked this fake. Like, seriously, he looks like he has Play-Doh all over his face.
Yeah.
I was just very disappointed in the whole thing because the way they described him, it's like I imagine another like Two-Face.
Yeah.
From
Batman.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's not at all.
Yeah. And Mason's getting his information all from Barney.
Yeah. So we have Clarice met up with a bunch of higher up people at the FBI. And they said, great job about Buffalo Bill, but it's time kind of for you to be done. She was very honest about what happened and how she shot to save her life. And this whole situation was a mess and she didn't agree. And she was put into a very unfair situation. Krenler came into the meeting with hidden wires to record Clarice. And she called him out on it. And then the boss man said, yeah, we'll meet again. And Krenler, if you come in here with wires again, like, you're out of here.
Yeah, this doesn't happen in the movie. In the movie, it's just Krenler who comes up to her and is basically like, you're off of this.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Mm-hmm. Clarice and Jack were chatting, and this guy Mason, who we just met, was one of Hannibal's victims that survived, and he has information for her about Hannibal. And she agreed to find out where Hannibal is. That's her new mission.
Again, Krenler is the one who puts her on all of this.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no Jack. Mm-mm. Clarice went to Mason's and he shared about his faith and he gained it at summer camp. And she's like, okay, can we like talk about like this, what we're supposed to be doing? He then explains what happened to him and he had this thrill of almost hanging himself. And then without officially dying, and Hannibal showed up one day and he was on some type of drugs. I don't even know what he was on. And Hannibal convinced him to cut off his face and feed it to the dogs. And Sterling asked for the information. She's like, okay, I'm done with you. Can you just give me information? And she got some x-rays of 5 fingers on the left hand, but one looked like it had surgery to remove it, which is important because Hannibal had 6 fingers on his left hand.
Which we haven't mentioned at all this whole entire
time. I haven't really heard about it.
It's in Silence of the Lambs.
Okay, Silence of the Lambs.
I think it's in Hannibal Rising as well.
Okay.
I think when he's like learning with his teacher, but it's like, it's just briefly mentioned.
Super brief.
And then it was mentioned in Silence of the Lambs. And I thought about talking about it, but I was like, oh, Allie will have that note. I don't need to write that note down. But then this time I missed it.
Was it so brief again?
Yeah, it was like in their first meeting.
Okay.
Again, like he was holding something or something and she was like, oh, he has 6 fingers.
So super brief again. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't mentioned at all in Dragon.
Brief, but then like she also then said the scientific word for it.
Oh.
And I was like, I didn't even know there was a scientific word for having a 6 finger.
Yeah. So
in Red Dragon, he's not a big character. Except for I do think that Graham said something about it. Okay. Actually, now that I think of it.
So it's like a sentence in all the books except this one. It's like
it's a key part.
Key.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably why he made it a sentence.
Right, exactly. So the surgery or the x-rays were from Brazil and she thanked him for the information and she said she'll let him know anything about Lecter.
So basically her whole meeting with Mason is because she wants to find out his tie to Hannibal and like what happened with him. So she's not pissed when he tells his story. He also isn't like super religious and like, oh, I found Jesus in the movie. He's just there to tell her about this. It's not dogs that eat off his face, it's pigs. Mm-hmm. And in the book, Hannibal convinced him to cut his own face off and feed it to the dogs. Whereas in the movie, it makes it seem like it was done not of like he wasn't the one like ripping his face off and handing it to the dogs. It was a horror movie serial killer flashbacky.
Yeah.
My note here, Lecter's 6 finger in book, ! How have we not talked about this? Also, we haven't mentioned at all Hannibal has red eyes.
Oh yeah.
And that's key in all of them. It always gets brought up. But like, I think the first book when I read it, I just kind of envisioned like, you know, because he's a serial killer, so like red eyes, that's just a like whatever. But no, it's definitely, he's got spooky red eyes.
So odd.
How?
How do you get red eyes?
How?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yep. All right. So.
Oh, and then his finger is not in the movie. So like she doesn't get that. Or she does get an x-ray, but I don't remember why it's key to this because his 6 finger isn't ever fucking mentioned.
Mm-mm. So when Clarice leaves, Mason calls in this little foster boy he has. He starts talking to him about how the other foster mother can't have him anymore. And people are going to kill his little kitty cat, but he can save it by feeding it rat poison. The boy calls him an ugly old man and leaves. And Margot, Mason's sister, is in the playroom with the boy and she wipes his tears and then puts his tear rag in Mason's martini glass. So gross. When I was first reading this, because I didn't know Margot's backstory, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, ew, Mason likes that type of thing. And then typing this up, I was like, oh, she's doing it because she's like pissed at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made sense.
Oh, that's funny. I actually also thought that he liked that.
Yeah. Right. But now thinking about it.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's she's like, this is payback.
Yeah.
My note here is that Mason's a pedo in the book and he is not in the movie. And I'm thankful for that. Also, there is no Margot in the movie.
No.
And also throughout his whole interaction with Clarice in the book, it keeps talking about how Mason in his bedroom has this fish tank that has an eel in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no eel.
Mm-hmm. So Clarice was working really hard at getting medical records from the insane asylum where Hannibal used to be, but it's closed down now. She's looking everywhere for worldwide records.
This does not happen in the movie. I was really sad. I thought this would have been a really good fucking scene.
Creepy part.
Creepy part. Good callback.
Yeah.
Good everything.
Yep.
But nope.
Yeah, because Clarice went down to Hannibal's old cell and she went to look for his medical records. But Miggs' records, the guy who was yucky to her in Silence of the Lambs, were in Hannibal's folders. And so while she was down there, she hears a voice and it's Sammy and this other guy who used to be patients there. And
no, it's Sammy and his girlfriend.
It's a girl?
Yeah, it's his prostitute girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't get that. And she quickly gave them a Snickers bar and money and then left because they're like living in this abandoned insane asylum.
Yeah, it was actually it's kind of this whole part isn't in the movie, but it's actually really sweet because Sammy is the one who only talks in like poems. And it's very bad, broken English. And like this girl who's also living in this asylum with him, like has found him. They like take care of each other. Like Clarice gave Sammy the Snickers bar, but then he immediately shared it with her. I was like, oh, that's actually like really sweet. You found love and you're too afraid to leave the asylum because this is all you really know.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. I don't know what you did to be in the asylum, but.
So Clarice followed Barney, who was the guard for Hannibal back when he lived there, was stuck there,
lived there.
Yeah,
I chose this of my own free will.
So she met with him to talk and they talked a lot about where all Hannibal's possessions were. And he's like, I don't know where they are. And she's like, oh, interesting, because they were sold under a false name and it all comes back to you. So he finally came clean and said, yeah, I sold them and I made some money and I'll tell you anything you want to know. So he told her all about Hannibal.
Yeah, this bit happens.
Clarice got confirmation that the x-rays was Hannibal's. She called Mason to let him know and he didn't answer, though, because he already knew. And what was the point of talking to her? Instead, he spent time planning on how Hannibal would be killed, which is by being eaten by pigs.
And he's going to turn it into a movie. And that is not a part of the movie.
Mm-mm.
I literally say Mason's planning a movie of Lecter's death because he can't leave his bed. Whereas in the movie, he leaves his bed.
Yep. All over the place.
Mm-hmm. So he can be there to watch him die.
Yep. So we get Mason's life story. His dad was a pig salesman and then he went into the family business. He's also a con man. And so he's been trying to put the pieces together on where Lecter is for years as payback. And Mason calls this guy to get the video camera all set up because they're about to get Lecter soon.
His life story basically got told to Clarice.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. It's like this point where I'm like, you know, that sucks what happens to Mason. You know, I get why he's doing this. And I didn't feel bad for like him. And then he just keeps getting worse and worse. And then I'm like, oh, you suck.
Yeah, you're a horrible person.
So now, all of a sudden, we jump to a brand new person. And we're following this detective in Florence, Italy, named Pazzi. Pazzi?
Pazzi.
Pazzi.
You're Italian, you should know.
I know. I was like, how did the audiobook reader say it? He said Pazzi.
I was going to say, I feel like because it's two Z's, you have to add that.
Pizza.
Pazzi.
Pizza. Pazzi. Yep.
I will say in the movie, I was thoroughly fucking confused when a random ass person got thrown into this. I was like, hold on, what? I feel like they didn't do a very good job at, like,
no, they did not,
explaining who he was and how he was tied in. I just kind of thought that, like, I just thought the Italian police were onto Lecter until later on when Mason's starting to call Potsy. And I was like, why couldn't they have, like, given us a scene where Mason, like, calls and is like, hey, you have new info or something like that before throwing us to this scene?
Oh, that would have been good. That would have even been good in the book, because I was confused at first in the book, too.
Well, the only reason I knew in the when I read the book was because I had seen the movie. Yeah. So I was like, OK, I was expecting this dude. But yeah, something to tie him in.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, here's a new character.
Yep. So basically what happens is he is currently after some guy who's been killing couples and setting their bodies up where this woman's left breast is always exposed. And it's just odd. And it hasn't happened for a while, but it's starting up again. And the last time it happened was 8 years ago. Immediately, I was like, Hannibal.
But I did, too. But then
it's debunked.
I was going to say it's debunked. And also, he likes the cheeks
and he eats them. Yeah. And yeah. These people weren't eating.
Mm-hmm.
Eating.
Yeah.
Eating.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, unless he's trying to throw them off. But I also think he's a cannibal. If he's killing people, he's probably like, yum.
Right.
I've got food for days.
He wouldn't waste it. Yeah. So he dived into all the inmates who had been released from jail and like within the timeline, and he found 97 of them. He interviewed them. Nothing really stuck out. And then there was another attack on his way to work. He saw a postcard and it had the bodies laying the same as the murder victims. He remembered something that one of the interviewers said and he arrested him.
This whole storyline is in the book. He's called Il Monstro. This is not in the movie. Nope. Potsy is focused on Hannibal and helping Mason get Hannibal, which was even more confusing because it also didn't click for me why he was until like probably like 15 minutes into his story when he's got that wanted poster with the reward on it. And I was like, no wonder you're so hard pressed on this guy.
Yeah. And then were you confused because he is not currently in the book? Search for Hannibal.
Yes. Yes.
No, he has absolutely no desire to search for Hannibal right now. He's just doing his job.
I was like, hold on. That's why I really thought that this dude, I was like, Hannibal's just tricking him. Hannibal's fucking with them. He's trying to like throw their scent off of him or something. But no, it was just a whole entire other fucking bad dude.
Yep. So, and it turns out they arrested the wrong guy. So now he's like on a joke and he's on trial because people think he planted evidence. And this like art curator comes, Dr. Fell. Is that how they spelled it in the book? Okay. Fell had a scar on his hand from carpal tunnel surgery, but that seems pretty shady. And the detective's not quite sure about him.
So one thing to make note of here is in this first interaction between Fell, a.k.a. Hannibal, and Potsy, he asks him, because Potsy has a whole entire family backstory where Potsy forever ago kind of was the laughingstock of the family and was killed and hung and made a laughingstock of. And so he's like, are you related to him? And so in the book, he does it in their first meeting, whereas in the movie, he does it right before he kills Potsy.
Yes.
Sorry, I just spoiled a shit ton.
The movie, he does it before he kills him?
Mm-hmm.
The book, he does too. He does it both. He does it here, and then he does more detail about the art and showing how he dies.
Yeah, but before he kills him in the movie, he literally is like, are you of the Potsy family where this happened?
Oh, and then he
that whole bit is here. Yeah.
Okay.
And I almost like it better right before killing him because it's like, oh, so you're related to someone who is a laughing stock? You're about to be a laughing stock too.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just kind of like, why the fuck are you asking me about that?
Yeah. Well, he kind of does something to make it like, oof, in the book too.
Yeah.
We'll get there. So Detective Potsy continues to search for the murderer and he asks the Americans to put up wanted posters as well. And he visits the American FBI, or he has visited the American FBI a few times. And while he was there, he saw Hannibal's drawings of Florence. And he happened to be looking out the same window that that picture was. And he remembered what the police said about Hannibal and how he'll either have a scar on his hand from surgery or he'll be hiding his hand because he has six fingers. And it clicked that Dr. Fell is Hannibal.
Well, in the movie, he was already hunting him. So you kind of assumed that, like, he was interacting with this guy because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, you're Hannibal. So this part doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Also, the whole six finger thing isn't a thing in the movie.
Nope. Now we kind of flip and we're following Hannibal. And we have confirmation that he is indeed Dr. Fell. And the only murder he has done since being there is he's killed the previous art curator so that he could get the job. He has been living an honest life since then, and he has enjoyed it here. That's when I was like, ah, oh, okay, he's not the killer.
And it's hard because in the movie, I don't feel like we ever fully follow Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the people who are hunting him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Potsy called the American police asking about a bounty for Hannibal information. He gave some information. And then we learn how much Mason is giving as a reward for the information and proof of Hannibal, which requires fingerprints. Potsy is arguing with himself, trying to figure out if it's better to arrest him or sell him. And so I think that, well, first explain the movie.
In the movie, he's like with his wife, which I also thought was just a girlfriend until I read the book. I honestly thought he was with a prostitute. I was like,
poor girl.
She seems like, why is she with this dude? But anyway. And so like they're in their apartment and you can tell like she's talking about the opera tickets that she wants. And she doesn't want to be all the way in the back like they were last time. And she wants to be up front. So, you know, he's sitting there like, fuck, I can't afford that. And then he like has this up on his computer and is like, but they're like, it never says anything about like proof and requires fingerprints. So I was thoroughly fucking confused when he went to buy the bracelet. I thought it was just like a consolation. Like, I had to buy the shit seat, so here's your bracelet, honey.
Oh, that makes sense.
Until the scene with Hannibal. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
So I really did not like how they did him in the movie, because here in the book, I really genuinely, it felt like a good cop who was just like, did not have a lot of money. So he's like, I can make millions if I sell Hannibal. And he's like, but I don't know, you know, I should just arrest him. But like, that's a lot of money. Whereas he just seemed like a slime ball in the movie altogether.
That's actually super funny, because since I went into it having known the movie, uh-huh, I thought he was just a slime ball from the get go.
Yeah, no, I definitely read him as a cop down
good
on
guy.
Yeah.
Hmm. And interesting.
Yeah, but I didn't like that. I was sad for him.
I wasn't, because I always thought he was a slave.
Yeah. No. I don't know. That's interesting. I love how, depending what you do first. That's why I'm glad we do opposites. We try to do opposites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only time we don't is if
we've done it,
seen the movie already, yeah, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So Potsy went and found this old gypsy lady that was in jail, and he brought her baby for a visit and asked her, or she asked, what do you want me to do? And yeah, because he could temporarily get her out of jail.
Yeah, this whole bit doesn't happen. Nope. And I kind of wish it did, because the person that he ends up using in the movie is kind of in the book, but it's never explained,
mm-hmm,
who he is. So I just kind of thought he like got some scumbag to help him.
Yep. Well, it turns out this woman is a pickpocketer, and Potsy needs her to pickpocket Hannibal so he can get fingerprints. And they have this whole plan, but it ended up being a bust, and she ended up losing like track of him, Hannibal,
because she saw his red eyes and was like, those are the devil's eyes. I'm not fucking with this dude.
Yep. That's where it comes up right here.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman went into the chapel and she was talking to someone, and eventually Dr. Fell came in. And she knew it was time. So she went up to pickpocket him, but quickly went to the holy water to bless her and the baby, because she saw the red demon eyes. And Potsy came over and she's like, that means the devil. I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm. That does not happen.
Nope. Potsy told her he needs to do this or she needs to do this. Otherwise, she's going to jail for a very long time. And he told her, I'll get you some money. Like, I'll get you out of jail and like to Australia. You'll be safe. And she was hesitant, but finally agreed.
Doesn't happen in the movie.
There was a new plan where Hannibal was going to grab her friend's wrist and his fingerprints would be on the bracelet.
Her friend. It's her lover.
Oh, excuse me,
baby daddy.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry, baby daddy. But this guy ended up dying because Hannibal stabbed him.
Yeah, this happens.
Yes.
Except for in the book, I like how they did it in the book better because like he stabs him, but he doesn't immediately fall over and die. You know, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. like he turns around. And is like, I did it to Potsy. And then like Potsy's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because I mean, you would think Hannibal knows how to stab people so that they
don't die immediately.
And they almost probably don't even realize it.
Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas in the movie, it was literally like stabbed. Guy like falls backwards and like
and no one was like looking like what just happened. No. They're all just like, minding their own business.
There's like 50 people around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Potsy got the woman to Australia like he promised. And he told her, I don't know where the other guy is. He's just late. She's like, shut up. He's died. He died. I already know this. He's dead because of you.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. Because there's only the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Potsy got Mason the bracelet and it tested it. And it is a match of Hannibal's.
Yep. That happens.
Mm-hmm. One of Mason's guys makes up fake bodies using like mannequins and pigs and for Mason's farm. And these mannequins are stuffed with meat. Are they stuffed with meat or something?
What are they stuffed I love with? You just said it's fake bodies made with pigs. It's not with the pigs.
Oh, is
it's
that what I meant?
To feed the pigs.
In my head, I said it right.
Yeah.
No. They're to feed the pigs. Yeah. And these mannequins are stuffed with like meat. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they hit play on this tape recorder and it's like starts screaming and that makes the pigs come. It's like Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah. Isn't it Pavlov?
Pavlov?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Pavlo.
Pavlo.
Hey, Pavlo.
Is that like a meat? Pavlo? No. What is that? Is that type of cheese?
Parvo?
I don't know.
Parvo is a disease your dog can get?
Oh, I don't know. We're not a medical podcast or a food podcast.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, basically it's human screams because they want the pigs to hear Hannibal screaming.
Yep.
And be like, yeah, I can eat you still, rather than run away.
Yep.
And this does happen.
Yep. Mason calls Potsy and makes the arrangements that his guys would be coming out to get Hannibal. He was told how he would get his money, and Potsy was kind of feeling slimy now and kind of feeling bad.
Potsy never feels bad in the movie.
Nope.
But the rest of that happens.
Potsy took his wife to the opera and Hannibal was there and they caught each other's eyes and Hannibal comes over and chats with them a bit and Potsy's getting the suspicion that he knows what he did.
I just realized I need to say something here because at this point in the movie, Clarice is also looking for Hannibal. So it was funny because in the movie at this point or like right before it, I was like, damn, Clarice is in this, but she's not in this. Like, what the fuck? But then because she's hunting Hannibal, too, she calls Potsy because she's done some research and realizes that his personal computer has been digging up stuff on Hannibal. And so she calls him and is like, hey, I know you're hunting him. If you know where he is, you need to tell me. And he's like, no, no, no. And this never happens in the book.
No, it does not.
Because I think movie realized Clarice is supposed to be in this. But we haven't seen her for a minute and people might be upset about that.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts, too, are that like this all happens in a matter of, you know, days.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like what really can Clarice do in a matter of days?
Yeah, that's true.
So it was just kind of like a.
Yeah.
And just pause Clarice for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the movie was like.
It's all happening right
now.
I know.
Yeah.
So Potsy was talking to the hitman that. Mason sent and giving him the rundown. They're all giving each other the rundown of the plan. Potsy says, hey, I just want Hannibal out of Florence before anything happens to him. The man assured him that that would happen. He shows him the beanbag gun that will knock him out. And Hannibal goes to his lecture hall and Potsy is getting very anxious.
Yeah, that happens.
Hannibal is showing a lecture on art, and he saw Potsy come in, and he's like, come sit down, sit down. And Hannibal showed many different pieces of art. After his lecture, Potsy said he needed to go back to Hannibal's place to grab some of the old art curator's possessions. Hannibal agreed he just needed to pack up. He also wanted to show Potsy some more art. These pieces included Potsy's old ancestors and relatives. So these pieces included hangings, one with the guts cut open and one they were just hanging right outside this building. And Hannibal tells Potsy he's thinking about eating his wife and then puts a rag over his mouth. Like, what the fuck?
Yep, that happens. Except for he tells Potsy that he's thinking about eating his wife after the opera, not when he's about to kill
him.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just a kind of like, so then Potsy's like, oh, you are the cannibal.
Right. So Potsy wakes up gagged and tied, and he got to his gun, and there was this whole kerfuffle, and in the end, he ended up shooting himself in the leg by accident. Hannibal got on the computer and told Potsy to log into the database and whatever. I don't remember what the database was for. He needed information off of it.
I think it was the stuff on him.
Yeah, I think so. Potsy said, I don't know the password. And Hannibal brought him to the window and was debating him dying. Should you die with your guts in or out? Finally, he decided, yeah, we'll get guts out. And he slid his stomach over it open, pushed him out the window, and he got hung. And the hitman, Mateo and Carlos, see this. And Hannibal's in the window, and they run after him. Mateo gets to him first, and he's on the phone with Carlos. And Carlos hears his brother die. And by the time Carlos got there, Hannibal was gone. And Hannibal had paid off this guy to use his motorcycle to escape.
Yeah, that happens. Okay. Except for I don't think he gets on a motorcycle in the movie. Which I was sad about because I was like, nice callback.
Right? Mm-hmm. Carlos called Mason and told him everything. He's like, you owe my family death benefits now because my brother is dead.
I feel like this happened, but it's not like a scene like this.
Yeah.
I think it's just in one of Mason's scene where this guy comes up to him and is like, what the fuck?
Yeah. What the heck just happened?
Yeah.
Hannibal was packing up to leave, which bummed him out because he really liked it here.
Do you mention Hannibal's nightmares in this?
Nope.
One of the things that I really liked about the book was Hannibal started having Misha nightmares. And I was like, dang, I wish they showed that in the movie because it's kind of nice that like you see that he's still like torn up about it, except for now he knows everything that happened.
My guess is because Rising came out years after this one.
Yeah, that's probably exactly why.
They're like, who cares about his sister?
Yeah.
His book hadn't even come out yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that would have been cool.
I liked it in the book.
I did too. Mm-hmm. The police got Potsy's body down and the fingerprints were sent to Washington because they matched Hannibal's. Mason was notified and faked sounding surprise when Jack told him. And Clarice kind of just laid there with her eyes burning. But she didn't cry. So she's sad that about some.
Mm-hmm. Who knows what?
Now we're at Mason's farm. And these pigs haven't eaten in 3 days. They got the camera all set up. And they end up eating some guy. Who was it they ate?
Just
some guy?
Yeah.
And the cameraman ran off. But one of Mason's people shot him. So the pigs ate him too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mason was watching the video that was sold to the Tatler from the hanging of Potsy, and he saw the silhouette of Hannibal just waving bye-bye.
That doesn't happen in the movie. It would have been cool if it did.
Clarice is now in charge of the in-between for the FBI and Italy.
That's already kind of been a thing since she already called Potsy and was like, what the fuck?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Mason got a delivery from Hannibal. There was a letter saying that Mason ate his own face because it was not fit for the dogs. He also thanked him for putting the bounty on his head because that was the perfect alarm system.
Yeah, that did not happen either. Mm-mm.
Krenler went to meet with Mason. They came up with a plan to get Hannibal in the state prison, not the federal lockup, so that Mason could get him out.
Yeah, this happens. Mm-hmm.
Mason and Margot are talking, and Margot and her girlfriend wanted to have a baby. Mason promised to be the sperm donor, and he's not complying, though. We also learned that he molested Margot as kids.
Yeah, this doesn't happen.
I don't know why she would want him the sperm donor. Like, I understand it's for the family name and all that sort of stuff, but I'm like, there's no freaking way.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
The bloodline.
Ugh.
And I think it's like, I think she's the masculine one in their relationship. And so it's kind of like a my bloodline mixing with your bloodline would be nice.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Rather than like some random
bloodline. Mm. So
still.
Mm-hmm.
Clarice and her roommate are chatting, and she asked Clarice if she could kill Hannibal if she sees him. She said, definitely.
She wrong. And that's a did not happen. I was going to say, and that's a no. And I was like, that makes no sense. That did not happen is what I meant.
There's background on Clarice and how she became an orphan. And she's talking with people about the event at the start of the story. And she had to explain it over and over. The shooting of the baby mama. Yeah.
Yeah.
She went to visit the guy who died, his gravesite. And she spoke to Jack about her mails being tampered with. And he's like, yep, it's been happening since you got the Hannibal letter.
None of this happens.
Hannibal's on an airplane and he has to act like a normal citizen. He's super annoyed, though, but he brought his own food. A kid is trying to eat it. And he's like, no, you won't like this. And mom overhears and she's like, excuse me, if you're feeding my son, I need to know what it is. And he's like, I don't want to feed your son. But he's just getting like, oh my gosh. And so he went to his mind palace to calm down and he found Clarice at her address in it.
Yeah, this does not happen. I wish.
It kind of happens at the very, very end. Like they're on an airplane at the end and there's this little kid.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not as big of a scene as it is in the book.
No, because this is such a funny scene.
Hilarious scene. I was like, poor Hannibal doesn't even want to share his fucking food. And has this mom like, if you're giving it to my kid, I need to know what it is.
Exactly.
Tell me what it is. Like, you're giving it to him?
Human liver and cheeks and...
You have delectable taste, child. Yes,
exactly.
What was I going to say? Oh, I wish that I could freaking... His memory is like a fucking elephant. Like, he remembers everything. Once he has it, he goes and stores it in his memory palace, and he knows exactly where he put it in his memory palace, and then he just walks up to it, and it's like, oh, there's her address.
I would love to just close my eyes and just imagine, like, going in a castle and, like, knowing exactly where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
Freaking taking a test and be like, okay, I'm going to go over to my desk and... Let me read over my notes.
All my notes are right there. Yeah.
Is that how people with photographic memory are?
That'd be so cool. Maybe. I don't know. Remember, I don't even think in fucking pictures.
I know. Poor you.
Everything's black up there.
So you can't even imagine a castle in your brain.
I mean, it's weird. It's almost like this is going to be the weirdest explanation of it, but it's almost like it's a whisper.
Okay.
Like, I know what a castle would look like. And, like, I have images from what I've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like you tell me castle and it pops into my head. It takes me a hot minute to be like, here's the castle.
That's so interesting. Man. And we were talking about that's probably why you don't like audiobooks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm positive. Because it's just so hard for me because... I'm just sitting there thinking about the words.
Yeah, no way. I get the whole story.
Yeah, it's a movie for you.
It is. It's a movie in my head while they read it to me.
Nope.
It's pretty cool.
It is not a movie for me.
That's why. That makes sense now. All right. Well, Krenler is talking to Clarice and he's just a jerk. And he's like, if you were to report to the higher ups, what would you say about catching Hannibal? How close are we? She explained everything. And she's like, are you being such a jerk to me because I didn't sleep with you and I sent you home to your wife instead?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, stay out of my lane. I'm going to do my own work. I was like, way to go, Clarice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know when it gets told, but Krenler is also wanting the fucking money from Mason.
Well, I just assume since he's working for him, that makes sense.
Oh. Yeah, so he's trying to get Clarice to tell him what's going on with Hannibal so that he can tell Mason rather than tell the FBI.
Yep.
And yeah, that basically happens, except for she doesn't make comment about, are you doing this because I didn't sleep with you?
Mm-hmm. Krenler met with Mason and they went over the evidence from Starling, and Mason brought in Barney.
Starling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mason brought in Barney because he works for Mason now, and there's a psych doctor there. And he didn't like a lot of the answers Barney was giving. Like, the doctor had interviewed Mason, like, before Clarice did. And he ended up leaving and crying because Mason was just Hannibal's just the worst. Mm-hmm. And he ended up writing a book and it got horrible reviews. And Barney just keeps throwing this back in his face. And Mason ordered a letter to be written to the Tatler and made it look like it was from Clarice. And he had this whole trail set up so that they were going to frame Clarice.
Yeah, this does not happen in the movie. Because so something that gets touched on in this is the psychologist and Barney. Psychologist keeps asking Barney, do you think there's any way that Hannibal and Clarice could be in love with each other? And keeps hitting on like, there's probably a romantic relationship there, don't you think? And Barney, like, I actually thought it was very sweet because Barney was like, that's not really my business. Like, I can tell you what I know, but I wouldn't be the one to ask about that because I'm not either of them. So how am I supposed to know about that?
So Clarice is running through the park and Hannibal is up on a hill watching her. And he goes to check her car, breaks into it so he can smell it.
And he licks her steering wheel.
Oh, yeah.
This part grossed me out so bad.
So odd.
I was like, good God, do you want to eat her?
Nope. Something else.
I mean, he'd probably, but
yeah, but he also likes her a little bit.
Details on Hannibal and how he's gotten things and adjusting back to life in America. And he got a Jaguar. He got tickets to the opera, but he's like poaching them. And like, so he's trying to be sneaky about it. But Clarice knew he was going to do all this stuff.
Yeah. Clarice, like chapters ago, was like, I have to start thinking like Hannibal, and he has expensive taste. So what would he be trying to buy? Like, I'm a car person, so this is the kind of car that I would be trying to buy right now. This is probably what he'll be trying to buy. And basically put out hits like to each different vendor, which he could possibly be purchasing stuff from. And so, yeah.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. Then we have Hannibal. He went to this gun show, but he went to the knife guy at this gun show and he bought a bunch, and he continues to look around. He saw this guy named Donnie, who's really good, cocky bow shooter. And he entered a competition, was like, I'm the best. And Hannibal entered too, just so he could get the information of this Donnie fellow.
That does not happen in the movie.
I was sad about that.
I know, this was a good part. I wish.
Yep. So Barney and Margo are becoming friends.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No, nope, because there's no Margo.
Mm-hmm.
Clarice called the mother of the... I'm thinking I'm right. Correct me if I'm wrong. The mother of Catherine, who was the victim from Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to get all the correct information about like dates and everything, like her birthday, and because it's not consistent. And Clarice is trying to get information because Hannibal might contact her.
Oh, no.
Okay.
You're mixing two different... She does call Catherine's mom because she was a senator, and she's wondering if she can help with the FBI. And she's like, well, I'm no longer in office, so no, I can't help you.
Okay.
The person who she calls for the birth date is one of Hannibal's, basically in Red Dragon era, he had a bunch of women who were close to him from the Philharmonic group, and they were basically his suitors.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to know each of their birth dates, because the thing with Hannibal is once you're one of his people that he is like, ooh, I'm into you, he still sends gifts.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I'm mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Combining.
Yeah.
So Starling went to the morgue and the doctor showed her Donnie. He had been shot with a bow and arrow and he was skinned and left in a tree.
That does not happen in the movie.
Yikes. Poor guy.
Well, he was also missing parts of his brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Clarice was like, was he missing the thymus? And they were like, yeah. And she's like, sweetbreads. I wonder who ate it.
So Mason gets a phone call that the little boy he talked to at the beginning is in critical condition because he ate the rat poison. And Mason denied having anything to do with it. And Margo had been quietly laying on the couch in his room. And so he thought she was asleep and she just cried silently.
And that did not happen in the movie.
Margo went into the workout room with Barney and he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. But they worked out really hard together. And then Barney went to shower, and then Margo came to the showers too, which was very confusing because it's the men's room. And he got a little turned on and went over and kissed her. And then he freaking finished on her.
Did he?
I don't know. I wrote that down. So I'm assuming.
I didn't read that.
Okay.
No, she was just freaked out because he had an erection.
That's it?
Yeah, it like because it came and touched her when he went to try and kiss her.
I hope that's all it was, because I was like, oh my gosh,
this poor dude.
I know.
Hasn't had action that long.
Ooh, kiss.
So she freaks out and smacked him and then leaves. And later he came, or she came, to apologize. And she just wanted to be one of the guys. But, you know, she knows I'm not. And he's apologized, too. And they agreed to be moving, or friends to be moving forward.
I was, when she was upset at him, I wanted to be like, girl, you're the one who went in there.
I know.
Because how I took it was that she wanted this to happen. I was like, oh, you want to get romantically involved with him in case Mason doesn't give you the sperm to donate, because then you can get Barney to give to you.
Oh, I didn't take that at all. I took it legit. She thought she was one of the guys and she could hang out with him like that. And then,
well, that's how I realized she meant it after she slapped him.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, girl,
beforehand. Yeah.
So Hannibal decided to get Clarice a birthday gift because it's in a few weeks.
That does not happen in the movie.
The FBI got a phone call that DNA matched Donnie to Hannibal. Krendler takes information to Mason and they agree now is the time they need to use Clarice for bait.
That does happen.
We have detail.
Do they decide to use her for bait in the movie, actually? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
No, they don't. But Krendler and Mason are definitely like, okay, we got to move.
All right. So we have details on how they're getting the pigs ready and they're moving them where they need to go. And Mason's getting ready for them to eat Lecter.
Yep, that happens.
Barney went over to Margo's house for dinner and Margo talked with Barney about having him help kill Mason. And she needs Barney's help by getting Mason's sperm and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, no, I can't. And she's like, is it just because you work for him? And he's like, no, she fires him. He's like, I still can't. And she's like, fine, but I will make sure you stay safe.
That doesn't happen because Margo's not in the book.
Yep.
Or movie.
Yep. Carlos and the man-eating pigs are getting ready.
I mean, this doesn't necessarily get shown in the movie, but you know that it's happening.
Yeah, I could have cut all that out. I mean, I needed it one time, but I do it for every chapter and I should have just gone through and be like, don't need, don't need, don't need.
That's fine.
Krendler is going through.
Krendler.
Yeah, what the heck? Voice to text. What's going on? Krendler is going through plans about how to get Clarice fired and he's reminiscing why he hates her.
That doesn't happen.
Clarice was getting information about the different expensive things being purchased, and she sent it to the police to look into. Clarice was served papers, and she needs to report to a hearing the next day.
That does not happen.
Clarice gets to the courthouse, and Krendler takes her, and they didn't allow Jack in, so he waited in the library. They presented all this information that they have, that she's been helping Hannibal escape. This Italian guy's there to like help explain things to. They show that lotion was bought, and that is only lotion bought for people in love. And Clarice, like, she it was bought for Clarice from Hannibal. And along with all these letters he wrote her, they presented the fake letter from Clarice that she, quote unquote, wrote to Hannibal. She denied it, but the judge had to put her on leave because all the evidence stacked against her. She let the judge know, hey, I believe that Krendler and Mason are hoping to catch Hannibal and that all this sort of stuff. And she basically explains the whole plan. And he's like, OK, well, I mean, there's no proof. And the Italian guy gave her his card so that they can look into the letter that fake her wrote. And they went to check on Jack and he had had a heart attack.
So basically, Clarice's leave has already happened because it was when Krendler was like, you're off the case. Mm-hmm. And then now Clarice goes home after Hannibal has gone into her house and left her a note and a phone and is like, meet me here and I'll call you. And then they're on the phone and they go to a mall and they basically have a mall date, just not together.
Yep.
Just he's always two steps ahead of her.
Yep. Hannibal is watching Stephen Hawking videos because he likes him. I love him. So cute. Then he goes to the FBI website and sees the headline that Clarice was suspended due to helping Hannibal escape. And he is in utter shock. Like, I've never seen Hannibal in shock before, but mm-hmm. he is.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was. Oops. It's so funny because I love his relationship with Clarice. And I've always been like, I've always thought that he was in love with her from just the movie Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. So then when that happened, I was like, oh, he does care about her.
So sweet.
Mm-hmm. Hannibal went to the hospital and got scrubs to disguise himself. And then he knocked out an anesthesiologist and took a bunch of drugs and then left.
So Hannibal does go to the hospital to get some things, but he doesn't really harm anyone, which it's kind of crazy. Why are you making Hannibal disguise himself and go into a hospital and not harm anyone?
I know.
Whatever.
Oh, man. So there was a bottle of wine with Clarice's birth year on it. And she had told the wine people, hey, notify me if it's bought, because there's like only three or four in the whole country. And called. I was like, this guy called Krenler. Yeah, we know about him already. So the wine guy called Krenler and let him know it was bought. And he's like, don't tell Clarice, she's not on the case anymore. And he don't put it in the system. And then he goes to tell Mason.
Does not happen in the movie.
Krenler went over to the security videos from the wine store, or he went over them and looked at them, and they decided to put a very high-tech tracking device on Clarice's car.
And that does not happen in the movie either.
Mason's guys followed Clarice to the store, and they saw Hannibal's truck, but I don't think they knew it was Hannibal's truck.
Mm-mm.
They saw him, though, trying to break into her car to put the wine in the car. They shot him with a tranquilizer, and they took him, and while he's like trying to stay awake still, he pulled a knife out and slashed her tires. And Clarice saw a kerfuffle going on, wasn't sure what it was until she saw the bottle of wine. She called 911 and let them know she had information on Hannibal Lecter.
So this is at the mall, and Mason's guys do follow, but they end up taking both of them, right? Or just Hannibal?
I think it's just Hannibal.
Just Hannibal. But Clarice doesn't do anything else.
She knows right away. So she like starts following them, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're in the mall. And then when she's following, she sees the guys take him and put him in the van. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh. And then she goes.
Mm-hmm. Krenler told Mason they're coming. And Clarice told on them to the cops. Mason wasn't worried.
She's a tattletale.
Yeah. Mason wasn't worried because she has ways or she had no way to link them to it with evidence. So he's like, whatever.
Yeah, that does not happen.
Mm-hmm. The judge called and let Clarice know, hey, we're going to go search Mason's place because he requested it. People who request it are not usually victims or not victims.
Criminals.
He said he'll share all the big stuff with her, but you're not on the case anymore. I cannot share all the details.
That does not happen in the movie.
Mason was imagining all the body parts he was about to feed his animals, like his eel in his room. He's going to give him Lecter's nose.
Does not happen in the movie.
They have Hannibal strapped to up like in the pig room. And Mason is talking to him through the video camera since he's bedbound. And Hannibal was trying to trigger Carlos about his brother. And it worked. Carlos stabbed him in the eye. And Hannibal went to his mind palace and drifted off, and he didn't even scream. And Margot went down there and stood in between them and broke it up.
So Hannibal is strapped up. Mason's talking to him, but in the room. And the Carlos thing doesn't happen.
Hannibal used to be Margot's therapist. So he was talking to her, and he told her she needs to blame Hannibal for the murder of Mason because he knew what she was going to do because, hey,
I was your therapist. I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah. I can't get in any more trouble. Like, you aren't in trouble at all yet. Don't take blame for this. And he had her take some of his hair, and she did, and then left.
I thought that was kind of sweet.
That was sweet.
I was like, wow, Hannibal, you actually have like a
good side.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's fucking demented, but
I know. So then Clarice is sneaking onto Mason's farm.
Yep. Yeah, that happens. Mm-hmm. The rest of that did not, though.
Yeah. The doctors came and hooked up Hannibal's IV so that he would live longer and be alive longer while he's dying. And Hannibal bit off the doctor's eyebrow. Hannibal got to Clarice got to the location, and she busted in. She shot a guy that came for her. She started to undo Hannibal, and he's like, here, give me the knife. I can undo the rest. And I was like, girl, you better not. But guess what? She did.
She trusts him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this battle kept going, and Clarice ended up getting shot in the leg, and Hannibal carried her out. And then the pigs came, and they started eating all the people, but Hannibal and Clarice got away.
So the doctor thing doesn't happen. Hannibal doesn't bite off this guy's eyebrow. The rest of it does happen, but Clarice gets shot with a dart that's just tranquilizer in the book. But in the movie, she gets shot with a bullet in the shoulder.
Yep.
And then the this is actually a big difference here. I was like, and the rest happened. Well, also, as he's leaving, Mason's little henchman in the movie is pushing Mason, and Hannibal essentially talks him into pushing Mason into the pigs.
Yep. That's how Mason died.
Yep. Mason dies by pigs eating him, which is ironic. And it makes sense for the story, but
that's not how it happens in the book.
Nope.
So in the book, Margot busts in.
Mm-hmm. And the henchmen all died by Clarice shooting them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book, they're the ones that get eaten by the pigs.
Yes. Margot busts in and knocked out Krenler. She got to Mason to get his sperm. And then she got what she needed. Killed him by putting an eel in his mouth. And then she framed Hannibal like he told her to.
That does not happen in the movie.
No. Hannibal has Clarice. And he's like in some room wherever he's staying. And he's helping her heal.
Okay. I'm going to just say the end of the movie now.
Okay.
Because it goes so quick.
Okay.
Because literally Clarice is in the room. Hannibal sews her bullet wound up and has her on drugs. So then she wakes up and is like, where the hell am I? She also wakes up in an evening gown and she's like, what? And then she like gets up, but she's kind of woozy from the drugs still. And she's trying to figure out where to go. So then she goes into the dining room where Hannibal is set up and has Paul, and is like, oh, look who joined us for dinner tonight. And she's like, what? And so they sit down and they're trying to talk about things. And then Hannibal lifts up because he's cut Paul Krenler's cranium so that he can get to the brain. And then he starts cooking the brain, freaking teppanyaki style, right there in front of them, and freaking feeds it to them. And Paul's eating his own brain and is like, this is good.
So gross.
And Clarice starts to like almost vomit and was like, no, this is bad. We can't do this. So then she, the rest of the time, is trying to call 911, finally gets 911, but knows that she has to wait a little bit. Then Hannibal's worried because they're coming to get her or get him. And they go through like a huge fight. They end up having one kiss between them and then he leaves.
Major difference here. Mm-hmm. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to start giving my 2 cents.
Yes. All right. So cops went to Margot and asked for details about what happened. And she gave details. But Clarice woke up and was talking to Hannibal. And he's like being very kind and shared how he helped her. And Hannibal gave her things and gave her her things, like her whatever badge and whatever she has.
All of her cop things. Uh-huh.
They went to the car to figure out how they knew where they were. And Clarice found the wire or the tracking device or whatever. Krenler got promoted because he did so well on this case, and Margot told him that the higher ups want to present him with a job, so he needs to go to this specific location. And there has not been a search for Clarice because she doesn't qualify as a kidnapping, so they're just like, whatever, she disappeared. Hannibal and Clarice are talking, and he said he can help her see her dad. Right there, I'm like, oh, he's gonna kill her. But yeah, no, for real. He doesn't. He just gives her a shot that makes her like hallucinate. And she sees her dad.
He's basically being a fucking therapist to her right now.
Uh-huh. And she's talking.
Which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. She's talking with her dad. And right there, I said, Hannibal and Clarice, they're talking to basically her therapist.
That's hilarious.
He brought her her father's remains. And he let
her. Except for, I think this was a... He gave her another shot before he took her to see the remains. So I don't think they were actually there. I just think it was him being like, this is going to help you close out this chapter.
Uh-huh. Well, he let her have time. And eventually he's getting a little annoyed because she isn't acting like the strong Clarice he knew. And so he's like, what the heck is happening? So Clarice's roommate went to Barney's house and she's like, where is she? And she's worried about her friend. And he's like, I don't have any idea. She left. And the next trip home from the hospital, because he works at a hospital, he brought home a rape kit for some reason. Hannibal went out and prepared his place with flowers, this huge flower centerpiece, and his autopsy saw. Then we're back at Margot. Margo went to Barney's house and he took the rape kit and swabbed the Lecter mask and got DNA from the Lecter mask to help
frame Hannibal.
Yeah. So he's still helping her and Hannibal's technically basically still helping her
because he's ensuring that he can't get in trouble in any way.
Yes.
He's like, here's my 2 cents. Just make sure I'm not mm-hmm. given to the cops.
Yep. So then we're with Clarice and Hannibal again, and Clarice comes out and Hannibal stops playing the piano because she's so beautiful. He stuck her with another syringe, but she didn't notice. And he asked her, she's like, can you keep playing the beautiful piano for me? They sat down for dinner, but correct me if I'm wrong. In the book, she's at one end of the table and Krendler's at the other end.
And he's blocked by the flowers.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So mm-hmm. she couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
And Krendler's acting kind of loopy. He had this headband around his head and he was fine until he said something rude to Clarice. And then Hannibal's like, okay. And he takes the headband off and then his brain's exposed. And he starts cutting up his brain and he's kind of like, you know, getting loopier and loopier. And then when he was rude to Clarice again, he shoots him with a crossbow. No more Krendler. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
Clarice and Hannibal are talking about if they were breastfed as children. And she asked him if he had to give it up so Misha could eat. And he's like, I don't remember. And she pulls out her boob and is like, well, you never have to give this one up. I'm like, what the hell?
When this happened, I was like, wait, hold on.
I was like, what is happening right now? I was like,
this is not. No. This isn't happening.
No.
And then the next one, I was like, oh, it because the next chapter is 3 years later, like no more information on anything. Just yes. Here's this. And then 3 years later. And I was like, yeah. Huh?
So 3 years later, Barney and his wife are at the opera and they see Clarice and Hannibal. And he's like, oh, my God. And he's like mentally freaking out. And Hannibal looks around and they make eye contact. He told his wife, we need to leave now. And this was the last opera they ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are one more scene with Clarice and Hannibal. They're in love. They have sex all the time and he doesn't use the drug on her anymore. And she ended up like writing a letter to her old roommate saying and giving her one of her rings saying, I'm okay. And Clarice has been working on her memory palace and Hannibal no longer has dreams about Misha and they live happily ever crazy after.
Yep.
Ugh. Give your 2 cents, because
so I have always from Silence of the Lambs thought that they were in love with each other. And I always thought that I was crazy because I was like, Clarice is a cop. So like, it's kind of weird for her to have this relationship with him. But then when I read this, I was like, I'm justified.
Oh, gosh.
But it's weird because Clarice has been so headstrong on catching him. But then there's little moments throughout the series where you can just tell, like, okay, she, when it comes between Hannibal and the FBI, she tends to go with Hannibal and do what Hannibal wants, never the FBI.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me, but it was also because then I get confused because I love Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal. But if Hannibal and Clarice are going to end up together, Anthony Hopkins is not who should be Hannibal.
Right.
Because that's just not.
We need a Ted Bundy type of character.
Yeah, because Anthony is creepy as all hell.
Maybe that's what she likes.
Maybe. Maybe. He does have red eyes.
You're so weird. Ugh. No, I thought it was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I too have the same thought where I'm like, they seem to like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think should have happened is that somehow Hannibal died and then Clarice could just grieve. I do not like that she became a cannibal. And
well, it never says she becomes a cannibal.
She literally ate brain and she lives with him and is in love with him. There's no way you can be married or not married, but like in love with Hannibal and not be a cannibal, too.
That's true.
Oh, gosh. But
the only reason she ate the brain was because of the drugs.
Right. She was tricked. But now she's not. I still think she's a Hannibal.
She's a cannibal for sure.
She's a cannibal now. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, he also says in the book that
basically when you hear the crossbow wire, that's your freedom. So like if she ever hears a crossbow shoot, she has the right to choose.
Yeah.
But
she had to choose him. It'd be crazy too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think so, because she gives him the knife before this whole thing. And I think she's always been drawn to him. I think they both have this like power and control thing where mm-hmm. they want it, and the other one is able to get it in a way that the other's not able to. So then they're like, let me have that.
It's so yuck. Mm-hmm. I told my mom. So I read it first, right? Mm-hmm. I told her. She's like, what? And I was like, hang on, I'm going to go watch the movie, see if it matches. And then I watched it and I was like, it does not match. And she's like, good. I was like, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it's just so odd. I don't know. It's just an odd thing for me.
The thing, too, about it is like, so movie, it's not Jodie Foster. Yeah. I do think maybe if it was Jodie Foster, I wouldn't have such a hard time when I'm reading it and for this to go through, because Jodie and Anthony definitely do have that where, because it's their chemistry that made me really like, oh, I think you guys might be in love with each other. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm down with the love thing. It's the ending up together part that I don't like.
They can't have some happiness and then he dies and then she grieves?
No. No. No happy ending here. Oh, no. All right.
But then it makes me laugh because Anthony did Red Dragon because he didn't want people to like root for him, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, with the ending of this book, would be hard for people to not root for him,
right? So that's weird that he approved it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, how did you approve this? Like, if you didn't like that,
well, he very well could have not approved it, and Thomas Harris been like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, everyone else liked it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So odd. All right. Well, any more?
I feel like there was other stuff that I wanted to say, but it's gone. I can't remember anything.
Maybe write it down for the bonus for the episode. Recap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Or the bonus. Yeah, you're
right. Yeah. All right. So IMDb has cast 75 people for this movie.
That's a lot.
Yes. We've already talked about Anthony Hopkins. How do you do in this one?
I think he did good.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore played Clarice Starling.
I wish it was Jodie.
I know. Me, too.
She did okay, except for, man, her accent kept coming and going. And I was like, girl,
pick one.
Yeah, either stick with it or don't.
Uh-huh. Gary Oldman played Mason.
What's funny, so you told me that you, like, were disappointed in it all. And yeah, his looks were bad. But to me, he didn't sound like Gary Oldman. I thought he did good. I was like, that's good.
Well, the audiobook reader read him because like he's described as like his mouth can't really move, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I read him like this, so I couldn't understand him half the time.
Okay,
so that part I didn't like about the audiobook reader, but I did like it because I mean that's in character, that's right?
Him, yeah.
Well, I could understand everything Gary Oldman said, and his voice was so much higher pitched than the audiobook reader. I was like, you sound so weird. But he did not sound like Gary Oldman at all.
Yeah, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I thought he did good.
Ray
Liotta.
Liotta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Paul Krendler.
Yeah, he did good.
He's one of those actors that just looks like he wears eyeliner all the time.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, are your eyes just like that, or do you wear eyeliner all the time?
That's a good question. I think he's like that.
So interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wish mine looked like that.
I know. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, Frankie Faison.
I don't know.
He played Barney.
He did good.
Yes, I'm glad he came back.
Yeah, me too.
And, oh gosh.
You're Italian. You should know that.
Okay. I know. I have been taking how long of Duolingo Italian?
Giancarlo.
Okay. Giannini.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. He played Potsy.
He literally, when he first came on the screen, I thought it was Al Pacino.
Oh.
I was like, damn, good cast. And then I was like, oh no, you're like knockoff Al Pacino.
So do you want Al Pacino instead?
Actually, yeah, Al Pacino would be fucking great in this.
I just didn't like that he played sleazy from the beginning, but mm-hmm.
He did fine. I just wish he acted it differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No recasts except Al Pacino.
Yeah. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah.
Till the end.
Yeah. The end is the only big.
Mm-hmm. Do the characters stay true?
So it's hard because, again, up until the end.
Okay. The last 20 minutes don't count.
Yeah. Yes.
They stay the same. Mm-hmm. The last 20 minutes. Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you prefer?
What do you prefer?
Shoot.
Oh, you don't know?
I don't know.
I know. I prefer the book.
Okay.
Because I actually, it. So when I first read the ending, I was like, what in the fuck is this? And I was like, no, what? But then I thought on it and I was like, no, this is actually like, this makes sense. It makes the most sense for everything that I have read up until this point.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense for how I've always felt about Clarice and Hannibal in Silence of the Lambs.
Uh-huh.
So it was hard to take in at first. But then as I sat and thought on it more and more, I was like, okay, yeah. And then I wish the movie did that.
Yeah.
Rather than keep them as enemies.
Mm-hmm. With you describing how you didn't know what this and this was. And then until you read the book, and then like how Potsy was like a slime ball. And so you read him as a slime ball. Like that makes me want. I like the book better, too.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, that did make sense right away because I knew the book. So,
yeah,
I think, yeah, mm-hmm. I like the book better.
Yeah.
Cool. Would you recommend it to a friend?
Yeah,
I would. If they like the Hannibal series, I was like, you got to finish it.
Exactly. And I think it's a shocker.
Yeah.
Like the ending.
Twist.
Yeah. The twist. Like I just always thought that Clarice would fight her feelings because she was such a cop.
Yeah.
But that's why Hannibal did the whole therapy with her dad with her.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew for her to be able to access love, if that was a thing for them, she would have to get over her, like, I need to be a good cop for my dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's such, I loved it. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't my top of the series, but yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it's not my top of the series, but it was still enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys, that's it. That's for our long, long episode. It's mm-hmm. actually not that long. I thought it was going to be way longer than it was.
I know you were worried with the notes, but I was like, I actually think it's going to go quick because a lot of it was me saying
didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, it was just a long, I had a lot of notes. A lot happened.
A lot did happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. Well, we say it every week and we're going to say it again. You should check out our website.
I worked really hard on it.
Yeah, Allie did work really hard on it and it looks great. We get a lot of compliments from people who actually go to it. Yeah.
Aw, thanks, peeps. So,
well, didn't you just say that your mom also... Oh, that was for the photos.
Well, yeah, but still. That's offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're there, you should rate, subscribe, and review us.
Yes.
You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can rate us anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We can only... What reviews can we read? We can only see some of them for some reason.
Apple.
We can see Apple. Mm-hmm. Can we see Spotify's?
Spotify's, we just see how many, like, our star ratings.
Oh, so we can't, if they write a review, we can't read it?
Mm-mm.
What?
Mm-hmm. So if you want to write a review, like, send it as a comment to us.
Yeah, we'll read it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have season 6 listener picks. I think we're down to like
four
spots left.
Maybe three.
Because John?
No, because of the author. John hasn't gotten me his pick yet.
Oh, our author. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, I was going to ask my mom, see if she has one too.
Yeah, that's smart.
Mm-hmm. And then we have our Wednesday bonus.
Hannibal series ending minisode.
Yes. You guys, we did some fun stuff and we're going to do some fun stuff on the episode.
Mm-hmm. It'll make even more sense now.
Yes,
we can be like Clarice.
Oh no.
Well,
yeah. That real sounds like we're gonna be eating body parts. Oh no. Well, I guess you guys will have to tune in to see what happens.
And then Monday we're entering spooky season.
Yay! So excited.
with something that's not that spooky.
No, not at all. I was like, this is not a good choice for spooky season, but it's Stephen King, so we had to do it in spooky season.
Exactly. And I had described this in the episode, but I chose this because we had just finished this series and I didn't want to make Allie do spooky, 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 spooky.
That's okay. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the one that's coming after this one.
Yeah, the one that comes after this one is
not really spooky. It's just,
there's a lot. It's a heavy book.
Yeah.
It's a heavy book, heavy story.
Yeah. But yeah. This next one is not.
No, it is The Body, which if you've seen the movie, it's Stand By Me.
Yeah, it's a cute little Goonies type movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about friends.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Mm-hmm. So come
listen.
Take a listen. And if you're mad that we did spooky season and that one's not spooky, go back and listen to our other Stephen King books.
Yeah, because this is a great time to listen to them.
Yeah, we got Cujo.
We've done
Misery.
Mm-hmm. We've done
Secret Window.
Carrie.
Why you?
I was trying to avoid that one.
We've done The Shining. And
oh, yeah. Dr. Sleep.
Uh-huh. What else have we done? I feel like we've done other things. Wait, we need 8 of them? We've done 2 spooky seasons. Kay.
Carrie, Misery, Secret Window, Cujo.
Shining,
Dr. Sleep.
We're good at promoting ourselves. Here, let me look it up.
Misery. We started with Misery. Then we did Carrie, Secret Window, Cujo.
We have Misery, Secret Window, Cujo, Carrie, Pet Cemetery.
Oh, duh. How did you forget that one?
I don't know. The Shawshank Redemption, Children of the Corn, Shining, Dr. Sleep.
Oh, because last time was 5.
Yeah. Okay. That's what we got. Go check those out.
Wow. How did we forget freaking Shawshank and Children of the Corn?
And Pet Sematary.
I know how I forgot that one. I don't know how you forgot that one.
I know, I love that one.
That was your favorite.
I know it was. Anyways, you guys. So.
Yeah. So if you're not into The Body or Stand By Me, go listen to one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good ones too.
Well, The Body is a really short one. And then you can go listen to a spooky one.
That's very true.
Yeah.
It's one of our shorter episodes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, you guys. That was fun.
Yes, it was. So
with that, Hannibal
went off script.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.